Good morning, everyone. I'm going to do the next four chapters through video. I just want to finish the book of Luke. I know it's going to be kind of weird seeing me on video, but it's still me. And so I hope you enjoy as we finish Luke. So Luke 21. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow putting in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, 'As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be one be left one stone upon another which will not be torn down.' They questioned him, saying, 'Teacher, when therefore will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?' And he said, 'See to it that you not be misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, the time is at hand, do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately.' Then he continued by saying to them, 'Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I'll give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that our desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of the city depart. Let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse babes in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times that the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among the nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear in the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.' And he told them a parable. 'Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and you know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man.' Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night in the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him." Amen. So chapter 21 begins with Jesus in Jerusalem, and he makes a little note about what's happening here in the treasury. And then it starts off this really fantastic discourse that in the church is called the Olivet Discourse, which is really about the end times, or, you know, simply put, about prophecies of the things that are about to come. And so let's talk about this widow's gift first. You know, he looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow, and she put in just two small copper coins. The word here is the word lepta, right, which is a very small, sometimes other passages call it a mite. You know, I mean, it was really like a penny, you know. Some of the Americans, we know what a penny is. I mean, so little. But notice what Jesus says. He says, "I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they out of their surplus put into the offering, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on." Now, this goes to the heart of giving or generosity. And we see, you know, in this passage, and you know, and we've kind of dealt with this as a church a little bit, you know, with our building fund and, you know, and all these different things. You know, and we talk as a church and we say it's not really about the amount. You know, it's about the heart. Another way of saying that, it's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. And, you know, what I found, you know, kind of interesting as we go through our building fund and all these things, you know, and please don't take this the wrong way. It's just certain observations, you know. But actually realize money is a big thing to people, you know. And some people think they're very, very spiritual and all these things, but yet there's an issue with money, right? And because money is extremely spiritual. And then there's some people that think they're very generous. But when you really think about it, the generosity just flows out of what they're already able to give. That's not necessarily generosity, or I should say that's not necessarily sacrifice, you know? Sacrifice is giving all that you have, or not necessarily all that you have, but giving, you know, things that are quite precious to you that is in some ways is beyond your means, and that's sacrifice. You know, yes, people are generous, but it comes out of wealth. You know, they have so much stuff, so it's easy to give stuff. You know, but are you generous when you don't have much stuff at all? Or are you generous when you give all your stuff? You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think personally as a pastor, I learned a lot of lessons, you know, through our building fund, you know, and all these things. And you know, I've really learned to, I mean, really appreciate people's gifts and their giving. Not necessarily because it was such a staggering amount, right? We said that it's not the amount, but it's the heart behind it. You know, and I think for a lot of times, a lot of our people at church were really challenged, you know, in the sense that, yeah, okay, you give your tithes and offerings, but now let's tap in even more and give to the vision, right? And I could see people really squirming and just saying, wow, you know, I thought I was generous already, but then it really pushed certain buttons in people's hearts. And quite frankly, people didn't respond very well, you know, but God taught a very good lesson to those people, you know, and to myself as a leader. That's a whole nother thing for another time. And then, you know, so he goes through this process, and then goes to the Olivet Discourse. And it starts off because, you know, they're putting all this money into the treasury, you know, all these things, and we'll see the benefit of that. This beautiful temple. And Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. You know, and if you've been around SB, you've heard me teach on this before. It actually literally happened. You know, when the abomination of desolation occurred, in other words, when the temple was torn down, the Roman soldiers actually came in and uplifted every stone because inlaid the mortar of the stone, you know, was actually gold, right? Or fillings of gold. And so they actually stripped the temple of all of its gold, and literally not one stone was left upon another. I mean, it's a prophecy that came true. And then, you know, he begins to tell these guys, look, this is a clear sign. If you ever hear a man of God say things like this, it's a clear sign that they have lost it somewhere. You know, like if they say, well, I'm the Messiah, right? So you got the Moonies, you got Jim Jones, you know, David Koresh. You know, I mean, there's, you know, probably, you know, hundreds of thousands of people throughout the ages that have claimed that they are the Messiah. Right away, you can tell, no, this guy is a false prophet. Or the other clear sign is someone says, well, you know, this is the day, right? This is the time. Right, and then you know that's not going to happen. You know, in the United States, they just had a huge movement of this. Basically, it was a child that predicted a certain date, and it just happened. The date just passed in May, and obviously, we're still here, right? And so, the moment anyone puts a date on the second coming or something like that, you know that they're a false prophet, because Jesus says even he doesn't know, right? It's only the Father in heaven. Right, and so then he goes into this Olivet Discourse, and the Olivet Discourse was a kind of a snapshot of what is to come. You know, it's the glorious, you know, re-entering of Jesus, you know, back into this world. It's the second coming. You know, we have words like parousia and things like that, but that's basically what it's talking about the return of Christ. You know, and he says that when the Lord returns, not only is there going to be a great revival, but there's going to be great, great persecution. If you study church history now, you know that there is more people dying for the faith today, right? I mean, in the last 20 years, 30 years, there's more people dying now for the faith than actually all the centuries from Christ, you know, added up to then. And so we could tell, wow, these are the last days. You know, and it's probably good for us to prepare for the last days. You know, I mean, we're having martyrs on a daily basis suffering for their faith, just like he said it's going to happen. And notice what he says. He says, and when these things happen, he says, this is an opportunity, right? A lot of times we feel like when bad things happen to us or when we're suffering or when we're being persecuted, you know, and we could feel like, wow, this is so wrong. What's going on here? You know, let's try to get out of that mentality and say instead, Lord, how can we use this for your purposes? That's what he says in verse 12. Before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues, prisons, bring you before kings and governors for my name's sake, and it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Right? You know, sometimes, you know, God gives us a mess. Or sometimes we make a mess, and it turns into a message. Sometimes there's a test, and it turns into a testimony. You know, and we see, you know, this thing happening here. And look what he says. He says, when this happens, don't prepare a statement. In other words, you just rely on Holy Spirit, right? And the Spirit's going to put words in your mouth that's going to confound the wise and the intelligent and all these things. You know how we know this is true? Flash forward. Remember, Luke is writing this, okay? Flash forward, Luke is writing about a guy in chapter 6 and 7, a guy named Stephen. And remember, Stephen was so articulate. He shared the message of Christ so beautifully that even these religious leaders, he was untrained, uneducated, these religious leaders were confounded because Holy Spirit was speaking through him. In fact, the scriptures clearly said that he was full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom when he's sharing these things. And he says that the Spirit of God will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. And friends, bad things are going to happen. You know, you'll be hated, you know, by all on account of my name. But look what he says in verse 18 and 19. But yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain. The word lives actually is the word soul. Right? There may be suffering, but he says, look, not even a single hair of your head will perish. In other words, you know, it won't be gone for no reason, right? There'll be a purpose behind it. And in fact, he says, but by your endurance, right, you'll gain your soul, right? You'll gain your soul, right? And so this is how the believer can endure, knowing that there is a great reward, you know, before us, right, that the Lord Jesus will give to us on that day. And we look forward to that. And then he begins to go on about all these things happening. You know, the Christ will return, the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, the earth dismay among nations, perplexity, the roaring of the seas and the waves. Wow, it sounds like right now, you know, the newspapers, typhoons, tsunamis, you know, all these things. He says these are signs of the times. Friends, don't kid ourselves. We're living in the last of the last days, right? And it'd be pretty important for us to really get ready, to get ourselves ready, to make sure that all of our accounts are in order. You know, I mean, this will be, I mean, you'll see this a few weeks ago, but last Sunday in the morning service, you know, one of our sisters, actually Jamie's mother, Trish Donaldson, came up and shared a prophecy, you know, and kind of what God was speaking to her about, you know. And if you were not there in the first service, she said, you know, make your accounts right with God and with other people. You know, that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. You know, I mean, just a really interesting, you know, a word for us. And to say that, man, you know, it's the Lord is coming. There's no doubt about that. He is coming. Look at the signs of the times, right? Redemption is drawing near. So let's make sure we take care of our business with people. Make sure we take care of issues of forgiveness. Make sure that we pay back people we need to pay back. You know, make sure all our accounts are settled, obviously with God first and also with fellow man everywhere else, right? Because he's coming. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, right? And so this whole Olivet discourse is about get ready, be on the alert, you know, and the only weapon, verse 36, keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things about to take place. What can we do? We can pray. We can pray. Right? And that's probably why you guys are here this morning, right? Because we're praying. It's the only thing we can do. We can pray. Right? So with that in mind, let's close our eyes. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us today about just getting ready. You know, are our accounts settled with everybody? Are there things that we need to be taken care of in our lives? You know, is there your relationship with God the primary relationship in your life? You know, do you need to take care of business with Him? Maybe with your brother or your sister, you know, be it, you know, in your family or spiritually. Maybe it's your boss, right? There needs to be some reconciliation that takes place. Let me urge you, this week, do it. Because anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And as the worship team, as our leader leads us in a song of worship, let's just go before the Lord and let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us. So let's pray right now.